Wabash Folklore Radio. Written by Andy Hertzfeld and Company, and read by Derek Warren. Good Earth by Andy Hertzfeld. Time frame, October 1980. From 1979 to 1980, Jeff Raskin's Macintosh Project was a four-person research effort with a tenuous existence. It wasn't considered to be of great importance within Apple and was almost canceled on a couple of occasions. When Apple had yet another major reorganization in the fall of 1980, it was terminated once again, but Jeff pleaded with Mike Scott and Mike Markella for more time and was granted 3 more months to show that he was really onto something. As part of the shakeup, the four-person Macintosh team, consisting of Jeff Raskin, Brian Howard, Burl Smith, and Bud Tribble, soon to be joined by Joanna Hoffman, relocated to a small office building just a few blocks from the main Apple campus. The new office, located at 20863 Stevens Creek Boulevard, was called the Good Earth Building because it was adjacent to a Good Earth restaurant. In fact, it was Apple's very first office in Cupertino after the two Steves moved out of Steve Jobs' parents' house, and was later used as the first office of the Lisa Project when the Lisa team had fewer than 10 employees. The Mac team moved in, outfitting it with lots of beanbag chairs and all kinds of interesting toys. Jeff was very playful and always encouraged his team to express themselves creatively, so the office quickly began to look more like a daycare center than an engineering lab, overflowing with playthings. Periodically, work would cease, and the entire team, plus any visitors who might be on the premises, would play some organized game, usually led by Jeff and Brian. Our favorite game, which was usually played at least once a day, just after lunch, was a form of tag played with Nerf balls. There were dozens of brightly colored Nerf balls scattered around the office. The rules would be improvised, but usually, the person who was it had to tag someone else by hitting them with a Nerf ball, making them it. This inspired everyone to surround their work area with barricades made out of cardboard to provide cover during the game. Jeff and Brian were also serious musicians, so the office was also littered with a variety of musical instruments, and the workday sometimes erupted in a spontaneous concert. Jeff's interests also covered model airplanes and automobiles, especially those that were radio-controlled. It wasn't unusual to see a radio-controlled car dart underneath your desk, and occasionally, everyone would go outside to see the maiden voyage of Jeff's latest plane. Jeff was writing his Book of Macintosh during much of 1979 and all of 1980, articulating his vision in ever finer detail. Burl's 6809-based prototype came alive in the early part of 1980, but then Burl disappeared to work on the Apple II. Jeff hired Mark LeBrun to write software at around the same time, but Mark was more interested in Lisp machines than a microcomputer with limited memory like the Mac. As a result, nothing much happened until he was replaced by Bud Tribble in September. Bud knew Jeff from the University of California, San Diego, and Bud was also good friends with Bill Atkinson. They had a part-time, two-person consulting company together in Seattle called Synaptic Systems while they were both graduate students. Bill and Jeff convinced Bud to take a 1-year leave of absence from the MD-PhD program he was pursuing at the University of Washington. Though Bud was in the 5th year of the 7-year program, he decided not to return to med school, instead moving into a spare room at Bill Atkinson's house. He quickly brought new life to Burl's languishing prototype, writing some graphics routines for the 6809. So even though the Mac project had been going for more than a year, the move to the Good Earth building in October came at an interesting time, with a new but limited lease on life, and software finally starting to happen. But the Good Earth era was rather short-lived. Around 2 months after the move, Bud convinced Burl to consider using the Motorola 68000 microprocessor instead of the 6809. Burl came up with a brilliant chip-saving design in the spirit of the Apple II, catching the attention of Steve Jobs. Steve took over the project and quickly recruited most of the early Apple II crew that he trusted, including Steve Wozniak and Rod Holt, and moved the project to larger offices half a mile away in Texaco Towers.